In Philippians 2, the Bible instructs us to do everything without murmuring and disputing. Paul reminded the believers that they were living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and that they should shine as lights in the world. Can you relate to that as you seek to represent your Savior today? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliott, helping you to run the race of life each day with an eternal view. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking again today from my book, Keep a Quiet Heart. And this chapter is called An Overflowing Cup. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, good to all, faithful to all his promises, loving toward all he has made, righteous in all his ways, near to all who call on him, watches over all who love him. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. And that's from Psalm 145. As the year dwindles, my heart swells. How to express the joy and gratitude for daily evidence of all the above? I thank God for all the saints whose lives have demonstrated to me what it means to be a Christian. Dr. May Pole, a remarkable English lady, died at age 95. She had joined Amy Carmichael in her work in India in 1924, helping to build up the medical work, and then, when Amy was injured, becoming co-leader with her of the Donavur Fellowship. After Amy's death in 1951, the responsibility of leader fell to Dr. Pole. Eventually, she returned to England to care for two older sisters. Following their deaths, she continued to serve the Lord she loved, always available to many who needed her prayers and her counsel. I visited her in England in 1983 when I was working on A Chance to Die, the biography of Amy Carmichael. Dr. Pole had given me specific instructions by phone as to train, taxi, and finding the residential home where she lived. She was waiting at the door, very tiny and erect, very cheerful and direct, reminding me at once, but in appearance only, of the old lady in Beverly Hillbillies. "So you're Elizabeth. Come in. Do you know the word loo?" I did. British nickname for toilet. "Yes, there's the loo. There's your room. Tea at the top of these stairs in 20 minutes. Up the stairs she went with great energy. Her room was not much more than a cell, a narrow cot, a small table with a tea kettle, cups and biscuits, all ready on a neat cloth, two chairs, a short bookshelf on the wall. Half of the books were Amy Carmichael's. I had my notebook in hand. "What would you like to know?" she asked. There wasn't time for nearly all my questions, but in those hours I knew that I had been with a very great woman, one of God's hidden ones whose strength lies in nothing explainable by personality or heredity, but in him who is rock, fortress, and might, who is, in the darkness drear, their one true light, whose distant song of triumph steals on our ears sometimes and makes our hearts brave again and our arms strong. Praise to God for such living flames of his love. And then there are my parents, both of whom are now also with the Lord, but with whom I feel that I have been living again during the past year as I worked on a book on the shaping of one Christian family. Studying minutely their letters and diaries, rereading the autobiography Mother wrote for us children, poring over the pictures, ransacking my memory and the memories of my brothers and sister, I have often paused and said, "Thank you," to him who gave us such parents and such a home. I've also been solemnly aware of the weight of responsibility that is laid upon us because to whomsoever much is given, much is required. As an editor, my father spent his life reading other people's writings and never thought of writing a book. Three collections of his short writings were published in book form, however. One entitled New Every Morning, published by Zondervan in 1969, now out of print. Here's the title piece, An Exercise in Thanksgiving, and a glimpse of the man he was. I think you'll see why I'm thankful for such a father. Blessings taken for granted are often forgotten, yet our Heavenly Father daily loadeth us with benefits. Think of some of the common things which are nevertheless wonderful. And this is my father's list. The intricate, delicate mechanism of the lungs steadily and silently taking in fresh air 18 to 20 times a minute. The untiring heart, pumping great quantities of clean blood through the labyrinth of blood vessels. The constant body temperature, normally varying less than 1 degree. The atmospheric temperature, varying widely, it is true, but never so much as to destroy human and animal life. The orderly succession of day and night, spring, summer, autumn, and winter, so that with few exceptions, man can make his plans accordingly. The great variety of foods from the farm, the field, the forest, and the sea, to suit our differing desires and physical needs. The beauties of each day, the morning star and growing light of sunrise, the white clouds of afternoon, the soft tints of a peaceful sunset, and the glory of the starry heavens. The symphony of early morning bird songs, ranging from the unmusical trill of the chipping sparrow to the lilting ecstasy of the goldfinch, and the calm, rich, bell-like tones of the wood and hermit thrushes. The refreshment that sleep brings. The simple joys of home. The children's laughter and whimsical remarks. Happy times around the table. The love and understanding of husband and wife. And the harmony of voices raised together in praise to God. And he's referring there to our morning hymn sings after breakfast, the harmony of voices raised together in praise to God. And of course, as we got older, we learned to sing parts. So I have brothers who sing bass and tenor, and my sister and I sang alto and soprano. And of course, our parents both sang as well. My father goes on to say, all these and many others come from the beautiful hand of him who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Psalm 103. And then from Lamentations, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. And here's a quotation from Martin Luther. That was the end of my father's chapter. Martin Luther wrote, he who believes in God is not careful for the morrow, and that means not worried about tomorrow, but labors joyfully and with a great heart, for he giveth his beloved as in sleep. They must work and watch, yet never be careful or anxious, but commit all to him and live in serene tranquility and with a quiet heart as one who sleeps safely and quietly. Now, here's a little note in this book called Common Courtesy. Talking with a group of seminary students, I mentioned that the common rules of courtesy are often overlooked nowadays, especially by those who grew up in the past 2 decades, an era in which all conventions and traditions were suspect. Mere convention came to mean pure hypocrisy. If a thing was labeled traditional, it had to be discarded as no longer relevant, meaningful, or even intelligent. If a man had the temerity to hold a door open for a woman, he was sometimes labeled sexist. My brother Tom, who was a professor in a Christian college, once had the temerity to hold open a door for a girl student, a girl who was wearing blue jeans, a sweatshirt, and a backpack, and she had what they used to call waffle stompers on her feet. She spun around angrily, and she said to him, "Did you hold that door open because I'm a lady?" Tom's answer was, "No, I did it because I'm a gentleman." My point in bringing up the subject of courtesy was simply that it is a small way of demonstrating that deep principle central to our Christian faith, my life for yours. That was the message that Jesus gave us from the cross, wasn't it? My life for yours. I asked my class if any of the husbands in that room made a habit of helping their wives into their chairs at the table, even when company was not present. A week later, one of the men stopped me in the seminary hall. "I just want to tell you that my behavior toward my wife has been altered since last week's lecture. And you know what? It's changed my attitude toward her, as well as hers toward me. It's really been revelatory. Just wanted to say thanks." I was immensely cheered. It's always cheering to know somebody has had ears to hear and has actually done something about what he heard. I want to say how much I appreciate your letters when you write to tell me that you've actually done something about a lesson that you've learned through Gateway to Joy.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.